Well, welcome back to Fair Hope Hospice Presents. We have Tracy Miller, our grief navigator, with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we have Rick Schneider, our community education coordinator. Welcome, Rick.
It's good to be here. And, you know, we were talking about stickers earlier. I was wondering if I could get a few of those later. You know, I've got some things put around my little notebook here and all that kind of stuff.
Ah, let's see. What are some of your interests? Let me think.
You are the sticker lady.
You do like carpentry. You like tools.
He likes fire engines.
Bingo.
Fire engines.
I had to think of the name.
Well, let me think. Well,
trains and fire engines.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could probably give you some of those, Rick.
We
could get you set up for that.
But it's good that you bring that up because it is very individualized what you do, Tracy. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something a lot of people appreciate. We don't have something that everyone has to do. It depends on their needs and their interests and how you can help them work with their individual need for grief support.
You know, funny you should mention that, Denise, because I remember at one of the camps I was at, talking about the picture frames where kids put the stickers on them. Most of them put a zillion stickers on this and that. And one boy put two little things. And I think one of them was a hunting rifle and one was something else. Because Dad always took him hunting and goes, that was all that was important to me. And so that's all he put on there.
I think that's great.
And he wasn't corrected. Doesn't he cook? Doesn't he do something? He only wanted the hunting rifle or something else. Yeah.
I think we probably have around 30 types of stickers, 30 categories that we try to work in try to meet their needs. down from music to dance to cooking. Mm-hmm. The one challenge that I had was somebody loved tacos, and you really can't find tacos out in the stores. So we had to make taco stickers for him because that was something he always fixed with Dad. And so tacos presented the biggest challenge, trying to find tacos.
Yeah.
Okay, all you sticker makers, get busy, right?
Yeah.
Whole new market.
So
it is interesting when you deal with kids. You always have interesting stories. You hear all these different backgrounds that they come from, different types of death. And regretfully, there have been, I've been through the camps where there was car accidents, there were suicides, there's drug overdoses. They're not always happy deaths. And they're not always illnesses that are progressing or just the trauma.
Mm-hmm. So. We have had an increase in the number of traumatic deaths that we are supporting children that they have a loved one that's experienced. And what we try to do in those is to help the children reduce the shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep telling the kids, don't write those words on any English paper because those are not real words. But the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And we want them to understand that whatever their last experience was with a person, to see what we can get out of it that was a positive time. And if they find that somebody was making some lifestyle choices that the children didn't agree with and that resulted in a loved one's death, that, you know, they don't have to own those poor decisions that a parent made.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to help them through those kinds of moments.
You know, some of the scenarios, one of them I never thought of was we had I remember one girl, her twin sister had died. And for twins, and they were identical twins, so now all of a sudden you have I can't imagine having an identical twin die because it would be like half of me, literally. You know. So.
And yeah, we've supported a variety of losses, and the part that is the same about our loss is that we are always blessed that someone trusts us with their pain, someone trusts us with their children. That is a huge task for any caregiver to do, is to bring their child to us for support. And so we are just pleased to be able to offer this to the community free of charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you the number of times that I talk with folks and they'll say, well, do you accept this insurance or that insurance? And I tend to chuckle and I have to remind them, oh no, we don't charge for this, because I tend to forget to tell people that up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to put that out there as one of the first things that we tell them.
Yeah, this is our support to
this is our support to the community and our give back to the community for all that they have done to support us here at Fair Hope Hospice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of the things that we do pride ourselves on is that we have been well supported and we don't have to have to charge for those mm-hmm. services. And we never know how things are going to progress. We do not get funding for people, once we utilize the hospice benefit. Once patient dies, we don't get any more funding for that patient, but we're still responsible to follow them with grief.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very creative in how we do that with our funds so that we have the funds to take care of that. But we are very blessed by the community. We don't really have to worry about charging for that, but we are very frugal in the way that we utilize our funds too,
mm-hmm.
so that we have the funds to be able to provide a lot of things that we do.
Yeah. that's one of the things I love about working here is that we are so genuinely interested in the other folks. There is that money thing comes in the way, and it has to. So many people have a career in a certain field. They have to get paid for it. Ours comes from different sources where we don't have to get the money from the customer, if you will, the user. You know, we get it from Medicare, we get it from insurance companies, we get them from all different areas that we don't have to charge, and that is such a relief for people.
Well, and people don't realize, but like you said, the Medicare pays most of everything we get for hospice, but Medicaid, private insurance often will pay too. But, you know, because we are supported by the community, we can provide care regardless of ability to pay. So people don't have to pay. And we've tried to extend that into our grief services. So we've been able to do that. But you know, we do accept some United Way dollars to help with grief and bereavement services. But, you know, there's always, you know, money that's needed above and beyond that. So we just really rely on our operations and, you know, the community to help us.
Yeah. And that really is such a relief for people. Then they're not afraid to ask for help.
Right. And it's hard enough to ask for help.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, they say that there's a lot of problems and things because people, you know, can't get the help that they need sometimes for, you know, mental illness and things like this, where this is more of a normalized grief. We're dealing not with people with extensive mental health histories necessarily.
Sure.
That we're trying to do that kind of counseling. We're trying to just do normal grief support, grief type counseling for people that, you know, just had a loss and, you know, need that extra help. And there's no really limit. I mean, we've seen people, you've seen people for a year or two in the grief program.
And especially children, what we have found now that we've been doing this for 5 years, at least since I have been here, is we see some children that we supported a year or two after the loss of a parent, especially, and things seem to be calm for a while, and then the child gets a little bit older, gets some new experiences and some new awareness, and re-grieves the loss, and then that seems to calm down for a while, and then they hit a new developmental period, and they re-grieve the loss again. We have a group of seniors that we are working with who, you know, when a parent died 5 years ago, you know, they said, well, I have to do this without, you know, the parent being here at graduation. Now all of a sudden graduation is just months away, and they're trying to handle, how do I deal with that?
And again, who's going to walk with, whose mom's going to be here, dad's, all this is going on, they're not.
And so we're, you know, starting those discussions early. We actually did an activity with our support group that we have in a high school about trigger dates and trying to plan for those dates. And one of the most beautiful moments happened last week when there was a new person who came to our group, and the children, the teens that we have been working with for the past year, year and a half, welcomed this person in, gave pointers on how to do it, and then openly reached out to support each other. And then they developed a new idea, and we have to kind of expand on this, but they want to have a mentor program so that if someone experiences a loss, that someone else can come in and help them walk through. This is what a funeral can be like. This is what, you know, other things can be like. It was amazing to see the teens want to reach out and help others. So that was a beautiful moment that happened last week out in the schools.
That is wonderful.
That is a good idea, and it shows that they are internalizing it. They know it's good, and they want to take it and give it on.
So right.
Well, and then the other thing you'd shared with me was the idea of them creating a newsletter.
Yes. And we
which
have,
is phenomenal, really, that, you know, we have teens that want to do that.
Yes. And we have teens who have created artwork and written columns and also are trying to share some quotes that they have found that address their grief issues. Because basically, the teenagers told us that I had taught too much in an elementary age program, and I needed to get up with the time, so I said, you know what, you show me what we need to do and we'll make it happen. And that's basically what we've been doing.
I love it. You
know,
you need to get up with the times.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, all right. I taught in elementary for 28 years. I understand that.
You're stuck in elementary school.
So we're moving up.
But that is interesting that they can write down, and we will publish, you know, so other people can read and understand.
Well, and the whole point of any grieving person, whether it's a child, a teen, or an adult, is that their voice is still heard. Often the person that they may have shared a lot of their thoughts with is a person who died, and so we want to give them an avenue to be able to be heard, whether that is through music, art, writing, whatever that may be. And even some of our volunteers have come through the experience chance of losing a loved one here. And the way that they continue to have their voice heard and to help is by volunteering.
You know, the more I look at it, your 28 years of elementary education was more or less your schooling for this job.
In a lot of ways, working with some of those, I could see that I was dealing with grief issues because I had worked with children with special needs, and I often saw some parents go through some grief issues related to those special needs with their children.
Yeah, just amazing. I think it's amazing what you've done. You started out as a volunteer so many years ago, and holy smokes.
Wrote a book. She wrote a book of stories that she had witnessed with caring for some of the families that she dealt with as a volunteer. And so she's published a book, with hospice stories.
Well, and again, we just wanted those patients, their stories to be heard. And, and the beautiful thing is here is we allow opportunity for growth in the community and to help others in the community. And you, both of you have been very strong supporters over the years and continue to be strong supporters as we go down our next chapters.
The whole joint supports. Yes, don't worry about that. Everybody loves what you're doing, and it has had a positive effect. So
well, we do, I say publicly how much we do appreciate.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You, Tracy, and the team that really provides grief and support. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people say they don't know how you do that, but you have a special gift, and we definitely appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank Tracy Miller, and I want to thank Rick Schneider for being with us today, and I want to remind you, celebrate life.